Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Is there an area in your life where you feel stuck? Where you feel like whatever it is, you'll never change? You know, maybe you've tried to make the changes, but nothing ever really changes. And if you were asked, why do you think you're stuck? You'd probably just say, well, because I can't change. And I would argue that it's actually more than that. It's more than you just can't change. You're not just stuck. You're stuck because you believe a lie. You're stuck because you believe a lie. And when you and I believe a lie, we give it the power of truth in our lives. Let me say that again. When you and I believe a lie, we give it the power of truth in our lives. For instance, growing up, I was told, probably like many of you, that if I ate food and then wanted to go swimming, I had to wait a couple hours? Somebody say a couple hours? A couple hours? No, 30 minutes, right? 30 minutes. You had to wait 30 minutes, right? And you might be thinking, well, yeah, that's true. My mama said it was true. And I'm here to tell you that your mama was wrong. Because Dr. Mark Messick, a doctor at Duke University, who I'm just going to guess is smarter than your mom, said that she was wrong. And to think of all the hours that we have missed out on swimming earlier, some more than others, but all of the hours that we've missed out because we gave a lie the power of truth. When I was in high school, I was told that I needed to have my wisdom teeth removed. And so my mom was a dental assistant for over 50 years. And so she, needless to say, has a pretty good grasp on anything related to the dental industry. Well, as my appointment to have my wisdom teeth removed came about and got closer, the doctor asked me how I would like to handle the anesthesia. And I had two options. I could do local anesthesia or general anesthesia. Now, local meaning they would give me some Novocaine in those areas and it would numb it and then they would do the operation, but I would be fully awake while it was happening. General anesthesia being that they would give me an IV, they would give me some drug of some kind, and then I would fall asleep and they would do the procedure without me having any clue of what's going on, and hours later I would wake up. And so I debated this and I decided, you know, I want to do general anesthesia because whatever's about to happen in my mouth, I don't want to have any memory of that. That just sounds like a bad idea. So I made this decision and it made my mom really nervous. Now, you would think that someone who has the kind of experience with this area, you know, the dental industry, like my mother, would understand the sort of basic procedure that this was going to be. But my mom was just stressed about this. She was so nervous about it. I was her 15-year-old son, and I think she was just nervous about the whole thing. And so when I told her that I wanted to be put under, that I wanted general anesthesia, she responded to me with this, and I quote, she said to me, you know, Ryan, only 50% of the people put under ever wake up. Now, my mother was a very well-respected person in her field. She was educated. She was very well-experienced. So in my 15-year-old mind, I'm thinking, well, my mom can't be wrong, right? Like, she's been a part of this field for the whole entirety of her adult life. Well, eventually the doctor recommended that I be put under as well. The surgery is going to, you know, take a while, and he didn't want me to get restless while I was on, you know, this procedure was happening. And so I remember the day when I went in for the procedure, I started heading into the operating room, and I looked at my mom, and she had been feeding me this lie about the 50% only makeup to the point where I actually began to think, this could possibly be true. And so as I walked into the operating room, I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, well, I hope I end up on the other 50, you know, the right side of the 50%. And she just went and walked away. Yeah. Isn't it true that if we hear a lie enough, we actually begin to believe it? And eventually, we give that lie the power of truth. Well, I want to welcome you to the second week of a series we're calling Flip the Script. And we have recognized that all of us are following a script in our lives. We're following a story in our lives. And the script that we follow determines who we are and what we do. Only not everything in our script is true. In fact, much of the script that we're following is filled with lies, lies that we have believed and given the power of truth. And some of these lies are making an absolute mess of things, causing us to feel trapped, causing us to feel stuck. So we need to flip the script. We need to change the story. We need to expose these lies for what they are and allow God's truth to change us permanently. Now, the hard part about this is that the lies that we have come to believe are so embedded into who we are that we don't even recognize or think about them, right? We may have lived with these lies for the vast majority of our own lives. They become a part of who we are and how we think about ourselves. And the Bible talks about these lies that we believe, and it uses a word to describe them, and the word is stronghold. Everybody say that with me. Stronghold, okay? Stronghold. It's an important word in the Bible, and it's a word that the Bible describes to use to describe the lies that we believe. Now, during the time of the Bible, a major city would have a stronghold. It was usually located within the center of the city at the highest peak of the city. And it was a fortress built to keep the leaders and the government officials and those in authority safe if the city were ever to be attacked. In fact, they were such a fortress, impenetrable, that some of these strongholds would have walls that were 20 feet deep. It was used to secure these people who have importance and of authority. And the Bible compares a city's stronghold to the lies that we believe. That lies that have been reinforced and protected and hidden to the point where they're almost impenetrable in our lives. And if we want to truly flip the script on this, we want to change the story, we're going to have to attack the strongholds in our life. Now, the Bible talks about these, and it says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 22, it says, "A wise man attacks the city of the might and pulls down the stronghold in which they trust." In other words, if you want to have victory over a city, you're going to have to get the stronghold. Otherwise, after the war is finished, the leaders and the authorities will reemerge and they'll reestablish the city back to the way that it was. And the same is true when it comes to the lies we believe in our lives, that if we want to flip the script in our life, it's not enough to just try to change some of our behavior or try to change some outward things. And my guess is you've actually maybe tried that and it hasn't really worked. Maybe it worked for a little while, but eventually the lies that we hold tightly to in our lives, it reemerges and it reestablishes itself in our lives again as if it was always there. So today, we're going to look at a common stronghold, a common lie that most of us carry around with us in our lives. Most of us have been following the script of this lie and it has caused us to feel stuck. And the lie is this: you'll never change. Is that a lie that you can relate to? Has it been a stronghold in your life? Is it something, maybe you don't believe about everything in your life, but there are some areas in your life where you have just come to the conclusion that you'll just never change. You know, maybe it's a habit, a bad habit of some kind, or maybe it's a relationship thing, your marriage, how you interact with your wife or your husband. Maybe it's a sin you've struggled with for a long time and you've tried everything and you just realize, like, I'm never going to change. Or maybe it's a personality flaw that just keeps getting in the way and keeps getting you into trouble. And what is it for you? What is it in your life that you have given the power of truth to? And that this lie has caused you to feel stuck and as if you'll never change. Whatever it is, I can guarantee you one thing. It is probably the most frustrating thing in your life. You have tried so hard to lose the weight, only come to the point of frustration and exhaustion and believing I'll never change. You've tried so hard to kick the addiction, but you've just come to the conclusion that you'll never change. You've tried so hard to fix your marriage, and you just decided, like, it's not, I'm never going to change. I'm not going to change. She's not going to change. We're not going to change. You've tried so hard to get out of debt, and it's just frustrating you, and the net result is you're just totally exhausted and frustrated. Well, in the Bible, there's a guy named Paul who talks about this exact thing. He talks about our desire to want to change, but the frustration that often comes with believing the lie that we'll never change. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And we're going to read a couple passages out of Romans chapter 7. If you don't, it's okay. We'll have all the verses on the screen. And also, if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, I invite you to stop by the Velcro Bar. We give them out for free there. Take one. It's our gift to you, okay? And so Paul is writing about this frustration that he has around some areas in his life where he feels like change is needed, but he's just come to believe a lie that he'll never change. And so he writes in Romans chapter 7 about this frustration. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Or in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 and 19, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. We've all felt this way, right? We've all had that experience. You want to say no to the extra portion of food, but you don't do it. You want to say no to another night of heavy drinking, but you do it anyway. You want to say no to losing your temper with your wife or your kids, but there it is again. You want to curb your spending. You want to stop getting into debt, but you just can't seem to stop buying things. And the cycle just goes on and on and round and round, and eventually we just become a victim to believing the lie that we'll never change. We allow it to take on the power of truth. And so the question becomes, what do we do? Like, how do we deal with the strongholds? I mean, Paul, you know, this great leader in the church is saying, I struggle with this. I don't want to do what's right, but I don't do it. And I feel like sometimes I'll never change. How do we deal with this stronghold, this lie in our life? Well, here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. All right, so a couple things I want you to notice from this passage. The first is this, that when we look at the strongholds in the lives in our lives, the process of demolishing them is not passive, it is active, right? It is active. It's not as if the Bible is saying, you know what, just sit back and relax, and you know what, everything will be okay, things will get better eventually. No, it says, pick up the weapons that God has given to us and go after these strongholds and demolish them. In other words, we need to actively expose the lies in our lives and then destroy them. And to do that, I want to give us three key thoughts that come from this passage that will help us to destroy those strongholds, in particular the lie that we'll never change. And the first thing we need to think about and recognize is that we need to think God's power, not my power. God's power, not my power. The passage says that we're going to use the weapons of God. We're not going to use the weapons of the world. We're not going to use all the methods that all the, you know, people tell us we should do. We're going to follow what God says. We're going to use the weapons that God gives us. And so we've been taught that if we just try harder and we do this thing and we do that thing, that we can make the changes we want to make, that we will change. But we all know that isn't sustainable. And in our efforts to do that on our own, we've left ourselves more frustrated, and we've actually begun to believe this lie even more so. Right? So instead, we're going to tap into God's power to do what we can't. And Paul says, in this passage, it says that we should take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. In other words, every time that you and I begin to believe, I can't change, we are going to wrestle that lie to the ground, and we are going to hit it with what God says is true. We're going to take it captive, and we're going to use the most powerful weapon we have, God's word, to destroy it. Most of us look at this and we think, well, that's a Bible, that's a book. But the Bible actually describes itself not so much as a book, but as a weapon. The book of Ephesians refers to God's word, the Bible, as a sword. In Romans 13, 12, Paul calls the Bible a weapon of light. And it may seem odd, but God says that everything that we need to defeat and destroy the lies in our lives, it's all contained inside the pages of this book. This book is filled with the truth that destroys the strongholds in our lives. God's power to destroy the lies in your life is fully available through His word. And the power that comes from the words in that book will help us to overcome the strongholds in our lives. You can replace that lie with God's truth. So take, for instance, this lie, this stronghold we believe that says you'll never change. Well, you want to know what God's word says? It says in Romans 8:37, no. In all these things, whatever it might be in your life, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And so when we begin to believe that lie, you'll never change, we wrestle that lie to the ground and we attack it with God's truth. That no, I am more than a conqueror because of Him who loved us, because of the power that I receive through Him. We have spent our lives believing lies and giving them the power of truth. And God says, you do not have to live that way. That is not how I set this up. This idea that you'll never change, wrestle it to the ground, take it captive, make it obedient to my truth, and conquer, overcome, and change as a result. What this means, however, is that there's some work that needs to be done on our part. And one of those pieces of work is that we need to fill our minds with God's truth. Here's what Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Pay attention to those things. In psychology, there's something called the law of cognition. And it says that you are what you think about. It says that what you think about determines your behaviors. It governs your emotions. It shapes your attitudes. Psychologist Archibald Hart says that research has shown that one's thought life influences every aspect of one's being. That what we think about is reflected in our daily lives. Here's the psychologists, had they known this existed, they could have actually just looked into Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and seen that God has been saying this for a long time, where He says this. He says, be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. There is so much power in filling our minds with God's word. It's why we are so passionate here at Verve about putting God first every day of our life by spending time, a short period of time, with God's word, reading what God has to say to us. We have a resource available called Verve Catalyst, where you can go to vervecatalyst.org, and every day you can read a chapter of the Bible. It'll give some bullet points, some thoughts, and you can begin to think about the things of God, that you can combat the lies that are in your life with the truth of God's word. And when we do that, we experience God's divine power to overcome and destroy the strongholds in life. Now, let me encourage you in this way too. There's going to be times as you're reading God's word, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I need that. I need to know that. Not just for today, but for every day of my life. Take some time and memorize it, because there is nothing more powerful than having that truth at your disposal when you need it most. When you begin to believe these lies that you'll never change, to have that truth at your disposal that says, no. I am more than a conqueror because of Him who loves me, right? So three ideas from this passage that we read in 2 Corinthians. The first being that God's power, we need to think God's power, not ours. And the second thing we need to think is transform, not conform. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, this idea of being transformed is not something that we do, but it's something that God does in us, right? It's God's power, not ours. But there's something else at play here that I think is important, critically important, when we consider the process of being transformed into the people that God wants us to be. Now, I've mentioned the law of cognition in psychology. There's also another law in psychology called the law of exposure. And the law of exposure says that whatever our mind is exposed to the most will be reflected in our lives. And the Bible says it this way. The Bible confirms it by saying, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about the sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. In other words, if we allow our minds to constantly be exposed to sinful things, well then, our sinful nature gains control of our mind and our lives, and we begin to believe these lies, and we give them the power of truth, and ultimately that leads to death. But if we allow our minds to be exposed by the things of God, well, then God's Spirit controls our minds, and that ultimately leads to a life of peace and joy. It's a spiritual life, a new life, an eternal life, right? Advertisers take advantage of this law of exposure. They refer to it as effective frequency, which is they develop the optimal number of times that you and I need to be exposed to their advertisement before we will act upon it. And there's one adage in the marketing world called the rule of seven, which is to say that you need to be exposed to their product or their service at least seven times before you will act upon it, right? Now, seven is an arbitrary number, but it represents the fact that the more exposure we have to something, the more likely we are to act upon it. So apply that then to your daily life, right? We live in an exposure overload culture. I mean, our ability to access information is unlike any generation ever. You know, I just think about my phone, just my phone, the amount of information I can access with the touch of a finger, right? I can be overexposed to so many things. I can watch live TV or any movie that's ever been created with the touch of a finger. I can play any game that's ever been developed. I can read any book that's ever been written. I can download any song that's ever been sung, or I can shop for any product that's out there to be bought with just the touch of a finger. And so if I'm not careful, I don't have some sort of filter for what I access or what I expose myself to, well, it can either lead me down a path of pouring into the sinful nature of my life, which is destructive, or if I have a filter where I'm more exposed to what God wants in my life, well, then God's Spirit begins to control my life and I live a more godly life. So the Bible says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. The pattern of the world just says, look, who cares? Just be exposed to whatever. It doesn't matter, right? Because if you do, you'll begin to reflect those patterns in your life, which are destructive and ultimately lead to death. But instead, be transformed by exposing yourself to God's pattern for your life. So read your Bible. Go to church. Be here on a Sunday or a Monday. Get in a group. You know, spend time in prayer. Get on a team. These are things that we talk about here all the time. When we begin to pour into those habits and allow ourselves to be exposed to those things, well, God begins to transform us from the inside out. It gives us a life of peace, and it breaks down and destroys the strongholds in our life, strongholds that say things like, you'll never change. We expose ourselves to God's truth and to God's people, well, all of a sudden we can be able to say, no. That is not true, because God says, I am more than a conqueror. Right? So we have to be careful what we expose ourselves to and believe that God is in the business of transforming us, that we ought to seek out transformation, not to just conform to everything else that's going on in the world. And we need to tap into God's power, not just our own. And then lastly, if we want to destroy this stronghold that says you'll never change, we need to think progress and not perfection. Yeah, I think perfection is something that we get hung up on when we think about change in our life. We have this idealized version of who we might be, and we realize, well, I'm never going to get there. So what's the point? I'll never get there. I'll never be able to change so much that I would get there, right? But transformation is a lifelong process. It's a step-by-step process, right? Change is something that happens over time. It's important then for us to think about the progress we're making instead of thinking only about this perfected life that we on this side of heaven will never accomplish. You know, the goal of the Christian life isn't to one day wake up and look at ourselves in the mirror and be like, look at that. I've finally made it. I am fully transformed. I look like Jesus. Right? That's not how the Christian life works. That's not how God set this up. A better way to look at our lives is to look down the road and say, you know, maybe I'm not who I want to be today, but when I look back, I'm certainly not who I once was. Right? We can see that God has brought us through all of this, that He's done the transformation in our lives. Yeah, maybe we're not exactly where we need to be, but we're certainly not where we once were. My favorite verse in all the Bible comes from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says this, and I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. There is a day coming when perfection will be the standard. And that day is when God comes back and sets everything right. That will be a good day. But between now and then, God is moving us through a process of transformation, and God will never be finished with you, and He will never be finished with me. He is not finished continuing His work to change you. And He wants you to know, He wants me to know, that this lie that we've held on to that says you'll never change does not come from Him. Because what He says is, no, 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 in anything, you are more than a conqueror. And that I am in the business, through my power, I change lives. You may not be who you want to be yet, but you are certainly not who you once were. So we got to think progress, not perfection. You know, this idea that we can tap into God's power and that He, the knowledge that He wants to transform us and that we are on this process of being transformed, man, it helps us to overcome the lies that you and I have been living, especially this lie that says you'll never change. We do not have to give that lie the power of truth any longer. You know, there's so many lies that we have allowed to do that all the way since we were kids. You know, lies like that, the one that my mother told me that got to me, it started to have the power of truth. Funny enough, my mother had surgery last fall. And it was a major surgery. It was a surgery where she had to be put under. And so, being the loving son that I am, I reminded my mother that, you know, Mom, only 50% of the people who are put under ever wake up. She didn't laugh. She did not laugh. Now, I don't know if she still believed that or not. I hope she didn't. But isn't it true that we can so easily give lies the power of truth in our lives? And this lie that says you'll never change is something that we have allowed to give the power of truth to in our life. And God wants to flip the script on that thing. He is saying, listen, I have all the power you need through my word, right? Through who I am to make you more than a conqueror in whatever it is that needs to change in your life. I want to transform you. I want you to look back and see how far I've taken you. And I want you to look forward and to see how much further I want to take you. I want to destroy that stronghold in your life. I want to flip that script for your good and for mine. And so it's time for us to start reading a new script, to read a new story, a script that is a lot like Ephesians chapter 1, where it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And let me just say, if we get that, then we have tapped into the power that can change everything. There is nothing in your life that God cannot or will not change when we tap into the same power that raised his son Jesus to life. That same power is available for you and for me. It exists in the power of the words that he has spoken, that we can wrestle these lies to the ground, take them captive, and combat them with the truth that God has given to us. My hope for all of us is that we will never allow this lie that you'll never change to have the power of truth in our lives. But for that to happen, we have to flip the script. We have got to start thinking God's power, not mine, transform, not conform, and progress, not perfection. And when we do that, God says, you are more than a conqueror to change whatever it is in your life. In a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to think through this a little bit. Think about maybe where are some areas in your life where you know, man, God, you need to change this. It is killing me. It's making a mess of things. And I've tried to do it on my own, but it is not working. What is it that you know that God is pushing you, like, tap into my power, help you make this change in your life? Just take some time to think about it. It's also an opportunity for you to take communion. Communion is a reminder to us of the forgiveness that we have, that despite all the mistakes, despite the fact that we believe lies and we make messes of our lives, that God has forgiven us and loves us, that he sent his son to live a life we couldn't live, a perfect life, and he died a death that we deserved, that we might be forgiven, and then he raised again 3 days later with the same power that's available to us so that we could have the hope of eternal life, a life that starts now and goes on forever and ever. So communion is an opportunity to be reminded of that, and you can take a piece of the cracker and a cup of the juice and take some time to just reflect on maybe what you've heard today and what God is calling you to do next. And before we do that, I'm going to pray. God, thank you for your power. I know that it has been evident in my life. I know so many people at this church have experienced that. But God, help us. Help us to destroy those strongholds in our lives, especially the one that says you'll never change. Because that's just not true. You have given us all that we need to experience the change in our lives. So I pray that we would begin to notice and see how it is that you're doing that, that you would give us the words that we need to hear to combat those lies in our life, and that, God, you know, in some time from here, the next couple years, we maybe we'll still not be the person we were, but we can look back and say, man, we are certainly not the person we were then. God, we just thank you so much for Jesus, who makes it all possible. Without him, without his life, and without his sacrifice, without his rising from the dead 3 days later, none of this is possible. So thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.